In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Shartok and Yehuda Hanani pick up where they left off last time, discussing Bartok, language, and music.
Yehuda, the last time I spoke with you, you promised me, and you haven't delivered yet, that you were going to tell me a fascinating story about Bartok and finding his indigenous sound.
Yes, we were talking about the relationship between language and music and how Bartok found his own way with this relationship. And it is indeed a fascinating story. Let me give you a little background, because the brilliant flowering of art in Vienna towards the end of the 19th century obscured the developments in the smaller half of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. This was a time when a wave of nationalistic aspiration swept the entire monarchy, accompanied by a search for a national identity, which of course was the beginning of the unraveling of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Mm-hmm.
By way of asserting independence, Hungarian artists shifted interest towards provincial folk tradition and worked in all these exotic motifs that they worked into their Art Nouveau paintings and architecture. The orientation was eastward, away from Vienna, with a conviction that these ethnic folk elements preserved traces of ancient Parthia and Sassanid origin. This is ancient Persia, and even links to Hindu culture. Architects began to design houses inspired by medieval Transylvanian homes with Oriental elements. They were all stressing the non-European origins of Hungary, of the Magyar culture. And this is the milieu, this is the climate, zeitgeist, into which Bartok is born.
Bartok, of course, coming from the Hungarian side.
Yes, absolutely. At the beginning, he was just a regular music student, and he followed Wagner and Liszt. And for a while, he was infatuated with Richard Strauss, and his early pieces are very much academic copies of Richard Strauss's music. And then came the great life-changing epiphany. In 1904, he was at a summer resort in northern Hungary. Now it is Slovakia. He was at work on his piano quintet when he was interrupted by a voice from the next room. A nursemaid was cooing a lullaby. Oh. At first, he must have been annoyed. He insisted always on working in absolute silence. Years later, in New York, in his apartment on 57th Street, he would keep the shower running as a kind of a white noise machine.
Fascinating.
To keep the noise away.
So anyway, he's listening to the nurse.
He's listening to this nurse.
And he has one of those moments.
Yeah, one of those great life-changing moments. This time, he put his pen down, amazed, and went out to look for the girl. Her name was Liddy, she said, and she had grown up hearing her grandmother singing this simple song. She came from Transylvania, one of the most isolated backwater parts of Hungary. Until then, it was common knowledge, that original Hungarian peasant music had been lost, and only traces of it were left in what was called the verbunkos, the kind of folk music that was performed by the Romani, the gypsies, in their camps and in taverns. And verbunko, by the way, is the precursor of the csárdás. This was the belief that Franz Liszt and even Brahms had, because they received their Hungarian material in cafes in Vienna. They never really had an encounter with the real thing. Hearing this ancient, crude, but pure song, culturally unspoiled by the Ottoman or Habsburg occupations, with its own asymmetric meter, archaic pagan scale, devoid of Western sentimentality, no schmaltz in this music, was a revelation. The words to the song, by the way, were about an apple that had fallen into the mud. So Bartok picks up this apple, he turns it this way and that, and he determined to find the tree from which this apple came. So off to Transylvania he goes with He packs a sack of wax cylinders. You know, wax cylinders, predating the record. Right, right. An antiquated phonograph. And he goes. And for 13 years, he traveled from one remote village to another in a horse cart on dirt roads, coaxing a trove of songs out of bewildered peasants.
The sort of Alan Lomax who collected all the American folk
absolutely,
songs.
Absolutely, yeah. The same story. He was often accompanied, by the way, by his friend and colleague Zoltán Kodály, another very famous Hungarian composer. Just for the record, pun unintended, each of the cylinders could record 4 minutes of music.
Wow.
Today's iPod can record 130 hours, roughly 1,900 cylinders. How many trips from Budapest to Transylvania and how many bumpy rides in rickety horse carts?
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
What's the most famous of the Bartók music that came out of that?
His entire output. This is when he became Bartók. Until then, he was a student.
But is there one that we all know?
Oh, gosh. There is one that we are going to hear now. It's a piece that was commissioned by Benny Goodman.
Really?
And Joseph Szigeti, a famous Hungarian violinist.
So how long did Bartók live?
He died in the 50s in Manhattan.
No kidding. Yeah. So we're talking about a long period of history here.
Yes, yes. And just another interesting thing about this man, who is quite peculiar, is in addition to collecting peasant songs, his hobby was collecting butterflies, beetles, and insects. And he carried in his pocket a vial of chloroform to euthanize them.
Oh, my God.
So they'll be, you know, undamaged when he put them in his collection. And he was in Central Park once, taking a walk with his second wife. And a large bumblebee went whizzing right in front of the face. And his wife turned to him and said, "What was that, Bella?" And he said, "E-flat."
That's a great story.
So let's listen to the last movement of the famous piece that's called Contrasts, played by Benny Goodman, Joseph Szigeti, and Bartók himself at the piano.
It's amazing.
It's a historic recording, was made in the 40s for the Library of Congress.
That was Alan Chartok speaking with cellist Yehuda Hanani in our segment, Classical Music According to Yehuda. For information about Yehuda's Close Encounters with Music series in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.